In the time remaining, I wonder if, again, you know, everyone we've called up could easily testify for, you know, hours. Serious, and I'm totally serious about that. But what I'd like you to do is give us a sense of the scope. We've called it an epidemic today. Mm-hmm. Tell us, is that true, and why is that true? Give us a sense of this epidemic of police brutality and murder.
Well, from the research that I did 10 years ago, it's certainly nationwide. It's certainly predominantly people of color, predominantly young people, but it's everyone. It's rich people, it's poor people, it's white people, it's black people, it's young people, it's old people. And it's everywhere. It's in big cities, it's in small towns, it's out in the country. It's just everywhere.
What sort of numbers? I believe you studied the number killed in the 1990s. Is this correct?
Well, I took a 12-month period from, I think, September 1997 to September 1998, and I researched, I used LexisNexis to research newspaper databases all over the country. And now I forgot the question.
Well, sorry. No, the question was, what's your estimate of the number of deaths?
Okay.
Well, give us a sense of the scope of this. I had mentioned 100 per year in California alone.
Right. Well, the Department of Justice every year tells us that there are 300-350 deaths. But my research showed over 1,000 deaths, and I know I didn't find them all. But what is striking is that the DOJ and I count differently. The DOJ does not include in its count the off-duty officers who kill, or the retired officers. And they're usually employed as security guards, and they do quite a bit of killing. The DOJ does not count it as a law enforcement-related death when they hog-tie somebody and the person dies. That's not a death caused by law enforcement. Tasering was not common when I was doing my research. I don't think I found one taser death, but there are probably dozens, if not hundreds, of taser deaths today. So none of those are counted. The suicide, this thing called suicide by cop, that's not counted as a law enforcement-related death. So that's part of the reason that we're coming up with such different numbers. I also think that there's some they just don't count.
And when you say 1,000, you're talking about each year.
Oh, yeah.
1,000 people every year.
That I could document. I mean, I think in the article that I wrote for Counterpunch when I completed the research, my estimate was that I had only gotten about 80%. I think I can make an argument that I only picked up 60% of the people actually killed. And the reason for that is, at that time, 10 years ago, a lot of newspapers were not online and I couldn't pick them up with the search engines that I had available to me. Which is one reason that it's important, this new research that Project Censor's doing, where they're going to repeat the research I did. They have more powerful search engines now, so hopefully it'll be a more thorough.
I just want everybody to stop for a minute and ponder this. At least 1,000 people a year killed by police. A thousand every year. And it's something that's hidden, that's never talked about. You might see an article with, you know, a little tiny article on the back pages of the paper. And my understanding is that you found out that while, yes, it disproportionately affects African Americans and Latinos, anyone could be a victim of police murder.
Yes, anybody. It was kind of striking to me the number of affluent people who would, I thought, if you were, I'm not affluent, and I really don't know any affluent people, but I thought they were protected. But actually, they're not. They're, I mean, there was a bank executive who, I think he had some kind of seizure, it might have happened here in San Francisco, had some kind of seizure in the lobby of a hotel, and the hotel officials assumed he was drunk and had him taken to jail, and he never received any kind of medical treatment. He died. He died in jail. And there are other kinds of incidents that happen to affluent people. So they're not immune.
Well, thank you so much. Is there anything, I think we've gotten to the main points. Is there anything else?
You know, through this day, there is one thing I want to say, and that is to the families. Like, this movement is so dependent on families coming forward. And in my research, the things that I could find out from families that I couldn't find out from any other sources about the circumstances of the death, and I have the ability to communicate that, but I can't find the information to communicate it unless the families come forward and speak to researchers like me or writers like me. It is so, so important that families come forward, and I'm so appreciative of all the families that are here.
Thank you so much, Jen. Thank you. In just a moment here, but just to underscore what Karen said, whether you're an alternative journalist, a mainstream journalist, or a revolutionary journalist, and we certainly want people to contribute to our coverage at Revolution, but whichever category of journalist you fit in, we need to keep digging to get at the full truth of Oscar Grant's murder and all the backdoor shenanigans and lying and deception that's gone on, and whatever maneuvering the system's going to be trying to do to exonerate these police and so on. We've learned a lot here today, I certainly have, and we need to continue digging and investigating. And we're meeting witnesses every other day who were on the platform, in the train, who can testify to what really happened. So this is very important to going forward.
Well, before we conclude, and have our concluding remarks, I did want to read excerpts of something so it would be part of the record of this tribunal. Era Jo could not be here this afternoon. And I think we've had a lot of testimony about people who have been racially profiled. Her cousin is Michael Cho, was Michael Cho. Michael Cho was killed last year on New Year's Eve, another New Year's Eve police murder. And so she wrote a statement, I'm going to read excerpts of it. He was in La Habra in Southern California. My cousin Michael Cho was shot 11 times in the back on New Year's Eve 2007. A UCLA graduate, artist, graduate school applicant, a positive and productive contributor, he had a sixth sense for turning a sour day around. A piece of every member of our family and Michael's friends has died with Michael. The police are not social workers, although they were hired to keep the peace. A badge does not relay honesty, it does not ensure safety, it does not take responsibility for murders. My heart goes out to all those loved ones who were stolen from us. Keep strong. Keep screaming and kicking to change the system. Era Jo.
All right, and we have also received statements which people can pick up from Nicholas Haywood, Debbie Nelson, Alicia Kirkman, Johnson Stevens, and Beverly and Forrest Vinson, all family members who have lost loved ones. So we have these over at the table. I also want to mention that we do have copies of the DVD that Rayco narrated. at the table, the footage, and someone was just mentioning, I think Misha was mentioning that she had never seen it. Well, this has to be seen by people. People need to see this video. We have also got copies of the DVD Clyde mentioned, which I would really urge people to get. Revolution, Why It's Necessary, Possible, and What It's All About. Probably the most powerful exposition of the horrors of slavery and national oppression I've ever seen up till today. And also, of course, what we can do about it. I also want to encourage everyone to fill out the contact cards that we've circulated. I really want to also encourage people to subscribe to Revolution. I think our coverage has been outstanding of it, and we're going to continue to dig into this, including utilizing the testimony and the powerful words. I mean, it's hard to, you know, beginning with what Zipori and ending with what we just heard from Karen and everyone in between, all the powerful words and the truthful words that have been said here today, that we need to get this newspaper in the hands of thousands and thousands of people. And this is going to be one of the things that compels people on hearing this and understanding the truth to really take action. And, you know, look, at powerful resistance can change the equation. I know that all of us are frustrated that more people aren't standing up and speaking out, and they need to do that. But the more of us, and there have been many hundreds and thousands who've spoken up and stood up around Oscar Grant, this has been a breath of fresh air that people aren't just taking in. And this kind of resistance, and we've got to keep building it, we cannot stop, can really be liberating and unleashing for many, many more people. It can be a key part in building a revolutionary movement. We're all Oscar Grant. The whole damn system is guilty.
Did you want to say, or should I call it?
I just wanted to say yes on that, and also to invite people. We're going to have a final kind of poetic statement, and I wanted to invite people to get the materials and stuff, but also to look at this beautiful display, you know, a collage that represents the life of Oscar Grant. And I think that's very important. I understand we weren't able to get the slideshow to work. Does anyone? That was okay. So technical problems on that, but people can see the pictures, and I think they're, you know, really important. I'd like to call Olivia.
He's going to close. He opened it. He's going to close it out today. I also want to mention to people that Revolution Books has a very important and exciting lineup of discussions. This Tuesday night, we'll be discussing a new declaration on the liberation of women and the emancipation of all humanity. That's Tuesday night at Revolution Books. We can stick around and look at the table, and of course I invite everyone to come. There are many different fronts to the struggle to change the world, and that's certainly one of them. So, Tuesday. And tomorrow, yes, mention tomorrow, thank you. Tomorrow at 8 in the morning, I've heard different news about this hearing, but we need to be there at 8 o'clock at the Alameda County Courthouse, 1225 Fallon Street in downtown Oakland, and show this city and this world that we're determined to fight for justice for Oscar Grant. So, Opie, close us out.